Well, while citizens and companies apply political pressure on the streets to governments they see as doing too little to avert catastrophic climate change, many scientists, policy experts, energy companies and others are doing or are working on what exactly a decarbonised economy will look like. They're doing the real work of making sure a move to zero emissions doesn't mean we return to the cave. Just this week, a group of eminent Australian and German experts met for 3 days in Melbourne working on exactly these issues: how we can make iron and steel and aluminium, where manufacturing is best situated relative to new non-polluting power sources, and how that will reshape the face of our trade. The eminent Australian economist Ross Garnaut from Melbourne University has been involved in those talks. He's also finishing a book due out in November collating his recent speeches on Australia as a zero-carbon superpower. I spoke to Ross Garnaut earlier.
We've got by far the best endowment of renewable energy resources in the developed world relative to domestic demand and population. That's what matters in international trade. So that if we're half clever, we'll have the lowest cost electricity in the world in the zero carbon world economy. And that's going to give us an immense advantage in processing our metals like iron into iron metal, alumina into aluminium, the many industries that are producing energy intensive goods for solar panels, for batteries, for wind turbines. In addition, we've got by far the richest per capita endowment of woodland and land, a lot of it semi-arid, and that's going to give us exceptional capacity to absorb carbon, and that's going to be of great value in the zero carbon world economy. Alongside that, it will give us great advantages in production of biomass, and it's going to be biomass rather than fossil energy, rather than coal and oil and gas, is going to be the base of chemical manufacturing industries. So using all of these advantages, we've got a very big role to play in the world's zero emissions economy, and one that will bring prosperity to future generations of Australia if we play our cards right.
In the past day, the Global Coal Exit List has reported that while the pipeline of proposed coal-fired power stations has halved in the last 3 years, there are still 259 companies, by their calculation, planning or developing power stations in 60 nations. A lot of those are in our region, the Asia-Pacific region. Is the coal industry doing enough to make this transition happen?
Whether or not those power plants that are being built produce at full capacity or produce at all depends on a lot of aspects of the economic and policy environment. There's a lot of plants have been built in big developing countries like China in recent years. They're only operating at a small fraction of capacity or haven't operated at all and won't operate at all. What you've got to look at is actual coal power production and not volume of new capacity. But it is true that a lot of parts of world business haven't got their heads around the extent of the transition that it's very likely the world will make, because the world has to make it if we're going to avoid catastrophic outcomes.
You've been involved in a three-day symposium along with some German colleagues discussing the energy transition and the technologies. What are the connections between Australia and Germany? What are the possibilities in terms of making this transition?
Well, it's been a terrific few days. The meetings organised by the Australian-German Energy Transition Hub, originally set up by an agreement between Chancellor Angela Merkel and Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull at the G20 summit in Hamburg. And we're finding that these meetings are very fruitful. And the Germans are quite excited about the possibility of interacting with this resource-rich economy. The worst place in Australia for solar energy is the west coast of Tasmania, and that's better than the best place in Germany. They see our sunlit plains extended and see a great opportunity for support for the European energy transition, importing either goods made from renewable energy so they don't need to use energy at home for those, or energy itself in the form of hydrogen as a liquid or in the form of some carrier like ammonia. So we're talking about all of these possibilities. We're learning a lot about the actual applications of a lot of the new technologies. For example, making iron metal out of hydrogen from renewable energy rather than using coke, which is responsible for about 7% of the world's total emissions. We're finding that Australia and Germany working together can play a big part in the energy transition in both. The German relationship is very important for the access to the applied technology.
Ross Garnaut, Professor of Economics at Melbourne University.